Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 10.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision. Without sight.
Chapter 19, Happiness at Last. It had been several months since May's murder. Seth and his wife were settling into their daily routines, learning to live with each other in the cramped rooms of their home. He found the old house on the edge of town, which had fallen into disrepair following the death of its previous inhabitant. Garrett had made the necessary payments to the family, so Seth and Meredith could take the house. It took several weeks of back-breaking work, even with his father and uncles helping. The going was slow, but worth it, as he now lay in his own bed with his arms wrapped around the woman he loved with every bit of his being. The room was small, and the curtain separating it from the living room made it feel even smaller, but there was enough space for the bed and a few chairs. A window was placed in the apex of the roof which allowed daylight to enter from outside, but was high enough that no one could see in. The floor, Seth noted, was always swept clean, and the bearskin rug still shone the same as it had the day he killed the animal. In truth, he wanted a larger home, but for now, this was enough. He stared up at the sloping roof and imagined the process of adding another level, but as he could reach the wooden beams if he stood on the chair, he figured there wouldn't be the height needed to add another room up there. Meredith stirred, and he released his grip so he could turn to face her. He enjoyed watching as she rolled over to her side, feeling his arousal as he gazed down at her naked body.
Now, big man. I have only just woken. Don't be thinking I have energy to satisfy that,
she said as she checked under the furs. Seth couldn't help but feel disappointed.
Yet,
she added with a smile as she stroked him, before placing a kiss on his lips, then rolling on top of him. They made love, losing themselves in each other for blissful moments. Afterwards, they both lay, breathing heavily, with Meredith resting her head on Seth's shoulder as she stroked the hair on his chest. He knew she loved to do this, as she often placed her hand inside his shirts to feel the soft down, which, she told him, gave her so much comfort. She once referred to him as her own personal bear, huge and fierce to all but her. He lay back, feeling truly blessed. For the first time in his life, he knew love. He felt like the luckiest man alive every time he was in Meredith's presence. Seth wished they could live in those moments forever. Unfortunately, life always had to continue. Seth's duties to support his father on the farm, along with the growing tensions with the Welsh, meant he regularly left to chase off raiders or work the land. These frequent absences meant they tried to spend as much time together as possible when he was home.
Thank you for being in my life, Seth. I love you so much,
she said, breaking the silence as she lifted her head to look at him. Seth placed a kiss on her lips.
I love you too, my wife.
He stroked her blonde hair, then held a long curl in between his fingers.
Did I tell you about the day I was told of our marriage?
She asked. Seth shook his head.
I thought it was the worst day of my life when my mother sat me down and told me of the plans. If only I could go back to tell myself how happy I'd be. Though perhaps it would spoil the thrill I felt when I first saw you waiting for me. You were so proud and so handsome with your beautiful hair across your wide shoulders and those eyes. I completely fell in love as soon as I stood before you. I knew this was meant to be.
I never expected in 100 lifetimes I would meet a woman like you. I was shocked when my mother told me I was to marry. I didn't know what to expect.
he said as he continued to absently play with the hair.
When I saw you walking towards me, I thought my knees would buckle. Your beauty so took me.
He looked her in the eyes, holding her gaze.
It is I who should thank you, for without you I do not believe I would be able to live. The happiness I feel is because of you, and I do not want it to ever end.
They kissed again before laying still for a moment. There was a loud knock at their door before it opened with the sound of heavy footsteps entering their home.
Boy, put your woman down and get dressed. We have to leave,
his father shouted.
Those bastard Welsh have been sighted 10 miles from the village, and from what I hear, they are a huge number. We must hurry, as there are homesteads near where they are camped. They need us.
There was a bustling, followed by a clang of metal.
I'll grab your weapons and meet you out front. Be quick. Remember, you have the bed and your wife to come back to, so there's no need to linger.
There was a smile in his voice, but Seth could tell he was worried too. Quickly, he got up, grabbing the clothes off the chair at the bottom of the bed. As he pulled on his trousers, he looked back to Meredith, lying with the furs around her waist.
Be careful, my love, she said. And please do come home to me. I will be waiting.
Seth nodded.
There's no man alive who would try to keep me from you. And if there is, he won't live long. Don't worry yourself. I'll be back soon enough.
He grabbed his shirt and leather chest armour, then left the bedroom. His stomach wrenched at the thought of leaving her. They hadn't been apart since the day they wed, and now he was leaving on an uncertain journey into battle.
Don't worry, boy,
Raiden called from his brown mare, laden with blankets and weaponry.
We'll stick together and ensure we all return to our wives.
Seth looked at his family as they sat waiting for him to mount his own horse. Felix nodded agreement with his brother, and his father simply appeared, proud.
Then let us be rid of the Welsh so our beds are still warm,
he said as he climbed onto his horse. Without saying another word, they set off to discover if any dared remain where they were not welcome. Chapter 20. Defending Our Lands.
Seth!
The sound of his name being called, along with the feeling of being dragged, brought him to his senses. Opening his eyes, he saw his father and Felix stood over him as the battle raged all around. The sound of metal striking metal filled the air as men fought and died a short distance from where he had been dragged.
Are you hurt?
The worry and confusion in his father's voice was clear. Seth rubbed his head and tried to think about what had happened, but his father dragged him to his feet and gave him back his sword and shield.
You're fine. You lost your focus and he caught you off guard.
This wasn't a question, it was a statement. There was no way in his father's mind his son could be bettered in battle, especially by one of the Welshmen. Seth cleared his head and remembered he'd been thinking about going home to Meredith. He had lost focus, but the memory of his wife filled him with a warmth you couldn't get from all the fires in Mercia combined. His mind wandered again, thinking about her soft skin and gentle kiss.
If you don't concentrate, boy, your body will go home to a widow. Now fight!
Seth snapped to his senses, then quickly took in the progress of the battle. Æthelbald had gathered the armies to repel the advancing Welsh from the west. It had been 2 weeks of skirmishes which culminated in this all-out battle, which, by the looks of things, the Mercians were winning. Seth was exhausted. The exertion needed to stay alive and protect those around him had taken its toll.
Seth, advance!
His father's call lifted above the din of clashing swords on shields. He focused himself with the words of his father ringing in his ears. There was no way he would fall and not feel the loving embrace of Meredith again. No power in this land or any other would deny him that pleasure. He had promised his wife he would return. Seth, now fully concentrated on the task at hand, he fought like the master he was. He fought his way forward with a renewed sense of purpose. He could see King Elise and his guards fighting valiantly against 3 others of King Æthelbald's army. Seth knew that taking the king would enable a swift end to the battle. Lacking direction from their leader, the Welshmen would seek to retreat to their homes over the border. Seth had fought well, but after losing his focus and nearly his life, he decided to do all he could to bring a swift end to the fighting. He steeled himself for what he was going to do. Inside, he sought to calm his nerves, and he breathed slowly, letting each breath leave his lungs after a few seconds. The sounds of battle continued, but to his ears they began to fade as his mind drifted into another place. He had been fighting strongly, but now it was time to try something else. He opened his eyes to find his uncles and father in close combat with several of the enemy. His father glanced back as the man he fought fell at his sword, look of concern on his face. Raiden called. Seth turned his head towards his right to avoid a sword swinging down at his head. Everything moved slowly as he stepped backwards before driving his spear into the back of the man who had tried to take his life. As he removed his weapon from the dead warrior, he scanned the battlefield around him and was now determined to force these invaders back to where they came from. The feeling consumed him. As the energy flowed around him, he felt the same tranquil power he had when he killed Ardith. Now, with his attention fully on the fighting around him, he found there were no doubts what he was going to do next. All across the field there were cries of death, mingled with the clanging of steel against steel. Seth took in a breath, smelling the sweat of men, as well as the churned, muddy ground from their struggles. The scenes around him were one of personal struggle. Many lay on the ground, having lost their individual battles. Seth could see there were many injured or dying. Some were crawling away from the fight, and others still held their swords as they struggled to continue their attack on their enemies. Seth felt an immense swell of pride at the sight, but also sadness, as many of the fallen were known to him. Battle was not glorious. It was a necessity to protect those at home. Today would be the last time many fought, but he needed to make sure his kin got back to their families. To his left, he spotted his target. The Welsh king fought alongside his guardsmen. Several Mercians lay at the foot of the mound he had secured. Seth let his intensity grow as he channeled the energies he had gathered. The king was not going to watch the sunset. That was now inevitable. Dropping his shield, Seth let out a mighty roar as he set off in pursuit of Elise. A shield would slow him down, and he needed both hands free for his sword and spear. People looked up as his voice boomed across the field. His plan was to make it obvious what he was doing, so the men retreated to their king. As he ran, he focused his mind on the energies around him to give him an advantage over those who stood in his way. He knew how to wield a sword better than most, but with the ability to control energy and time, he knew none would be the match for him this day. It was not something he had ever been shown. Nor did May ever say Spey could be used in this way, but in his heart he knew this would be his path to victory. Seth noticed his father and uncles beside him. It seemed his charge buoyed them. Their company was welcomed as they fought their way towards the king. Seth wielded his spear and sword as the four worked together to cut a path towards Elise. He wasn't sure this would work, but he was certain of his ability, and he would not be denied his wife's embrace. His strategy worked. The bodyguards began to encircle their king, who quickly dispatched the men he was fighting before turning to face the oncoming Seth. Elise was a small man, his shining armor dulled by battle and glossed in blood. His crown remained stubbornly atop his head, no matter how often he ducked or parried attacks. The king must have fashioned some sort of restraint using his long red hair, which had lost its nearly tied braid. Seth had expected the king to cower, but an air of determination crossed the man's face. Stepping quickly, Seth buried his spear into the first man in his path, drawing his sword from its sheath as the man crumpled before him, then quickly turning it to impale another who aimed to ambush him in the act of killing his comrade. All around him, the world slowed as his focus intensified on the task. No longer would he be distracted by thoughts of home. He had made that mistake and almost paid the ultimate price. He felt the earth shift under his weight as he moved fluidly around the advancing men. His heart slowed to a steady drum as he tracked his enemies. Seth's sword was a blur of movement as he took it from the dying man and, without breaking a stride, slashed it across another face, bringing his foot up to the stomach of his friend, bending him double. He then drove the spear through the back of the winded man's neck in one slow motion. Seth now faced four men, the first to break rank from their king's protective circle to move towards him. Seth eyed them momentarily as he continued towards the prize ahead. He could see they were wary, and instead of engaging him, they spared quick glances behind, seeking support from their fellows. The sound of bellowed instructions floated on the air as Elise called for his men to act.
Kill him and protect your king. Gather your courage to drive this Mercian scum from our land. The day is ours.
All four men hesitated as they stole themselves for the conflict ahead. Seth did not pause, but allowed himself a grin at the delusional efforts of the king to rally his men. Their lands, he pondered. This is my land, and you shall not have it. In a blink, Seth had reached them. They backed away to get their footing, but Seth was not in the mood for playing. Taking a deep breath, he felt the energy around him draw closer. It made him feel twice his size, and he bared down on the men. Quickly, he attacked the closest to him, taking off his head with one almighty swing of his sword. Before the unlucky man's head had hit the ground, he had smashed his spear into another before rounding to slice through the third stomach, releasing his intestines as he drove his spear into the eye of the final man. Death was in his wake as he headed towards the king. The resistance was thinning behind him as the Mercian army advanced, driven on by the sight of Seth's actions. His spear and sword worked in perfect harmony as he continued to cut through the defensive wall surrounding their leader. Panic took the place of determination, as man by man they fell to Seth's precision and skill. None of the men managed to disrupt his steady march forwards towards his goal. Soon there was only Seth and the king standing face to face. Seth could see his opponent was fierce and strong, but he also knew he didn't have the burning desire which drove him forward. Elisa's head swiveled as he looked around for support. The chaos of the battlefield and loss of his guard to Seth meant he was alone. Seth paused as he stared into the king's eyes. He readied himself to end this here and now. Not breaking eye contact, he crouched, took a deep gulp of air before he sprinted at Elise, taking delight from the several steps backward this man took. This was over as far as he was concerned. He raised his spear high, then let out another mighty scream which reverberated around the battlefield. With a fire blazing in his eyes, he drove forward and struck the shield of the king with his spear. The attack broke the weapon in two, forcing it to be quickly discarded onto the grass several feet away. The sight of Seth being disarmed by his shield must have heartened Elise as he raised his sword to strike him down. Seth watched the blade as it swung towards his head, but he simply spun his body round to avoid the blow. Then he grabbed at the shield. With his now empty hand, he ripped it from the owner's arm before striking it into the king's head in one arcing motion. Staggered, the king brought his arm up to protect himself from what he believed would be the next attack, but Seth had used the blow as a distraction. Instead of the shield, he raised his sword, then buried it into the now exposed side of his victim. Nothing Elise could do would stop him taking his life. As the sword found its mark, Seth stared deep into his enemy's eyes. A flicker of panic flooded his face as realization dawned on the king. He coughed once, and blood trickled from his mouth as he became limp, dropping from Seth's sword to the ground. Seth raised the king's shield high above his head, then hammered it down into the throat of the fallen leader. Breathing heavily, he quickly looked around to see if any others were advancing on his position, but he was glad to see only the backs of the Welsh running away from the battle, and, he hoped, him. It wouldn't take long for the word to spread. Seth could see the Welshmen dropping their swords or retreating as the warriors fleeing from the hilltop passed them. It was an awesome sight. There were a few who fought on, but with panic making its way through their ranks, he knew the battle was over. Garrett strode towards his son, with Felix and Raiden trailing behind. The pride in his father's eyes was a welcome sight to Seth, as he realised he had left them behind to attack the king.
"You make me proud, my son. No other would have taken on the king and his bodyguard alone, but you took no heed of the size of the task. You knew an early victory would be had by the fall of their leader."
He brought his free hand up, then dragged his son into a firm embrace. Felix followed suit, and for good measure, Raiden ruffled Seth's sweat-covered hair. Seth held his father tight. It had been a huge effort to hold onto the energy for so long, and the effect of letting go weakened his knees. As he pulled away from the embrace, Seth could see many men had stopped fighting. There were still skirmishers at the far end of the battlefield, but word would reach them soon as many of the Mercians began to pick off any of the Welsh who had foolishly remained. Battle was a messy business, and although in the heat of the fight he felt exhilarated, he now felt a wave of sorrow as he could see faces of men he knew and had grown up with.
"The price of victory would always be in blood,"
he thought as he turned away from the dead and dying. There was a hush of voices as Æthelbald came up the hill, then stood next to Felix. He gave them a respectful bow before turning to Seth.
"What is your name, warrior?"
Æthelbald's voice was deep. It carried in it the inspiration which gave men the belief they could overcome and never fail on the battlefield.
"I am Seth, son of Garrett, my king."
Seth bowed low before his leader. He felt very self-conscious about how he must look. His shield long discarded, his spear broken in two.
"You fought fiercely, Seth, son of Garrett."
Seth's chest swelled at the sound of his king speaking their names, and he saw Felix place a brotherly hand on his father's shoulder in silent congratulation.
"I have never seen one so brave as you in many years, Seth. Your skill has impressed me in my victory this day."
Æthelbald reached out his hand, which Seth took, pride in his actions filling his heart. He knew this would be a tale that would reach Meredith's ears, and that she would feel the same pride he had now.
"They will think twice now before they try and take our lands and women. The sight of you slaying their leader will give them nightmares. Even the Mara themselves would struggle to better."
There was a round of grunted agreement from the now growing circle of warriors eager to get a look at their king and the man who had defeated Elise. Word spread quickly on the battlefield, and soon many had gathered around them.
"I would do well to keep you by my side as one of my bodyguards, so none could do as you did today, Seth."
The opportunity to stand beside his king in battle was something all Mercian men would give their lands for, and here was Æthelbald offering him the chance.
"My king, you honour me too much."
Seth bowed his head low. He was suddenly aware he still gripped Æthelbald's arm in his hand. He knew you didn't turn this kind of offer down.
"My sword is yours to command, and I will protect you for as long as I am able."
This was the only response he could give. He now knew he would leave Fadderley, his home of the past 25 years, to set up a new life in Tamworth.
"Excellent. You will join me in 7 days. That should give you enough time to gather your belongings and say your goodbyes. Do you have a family?"
Æthelbald asked.
"I have a wife, but no children yet, though we try often."
The joke wasn't lost. A roar of laughter rose from the now gathered crowd.
"'Tis decided then, Seth. I look forward to your service and protection."
Æthelbald turned, then began to head back towards the encampment, which had been set up to house the army of Mercia. Feeling stunned, Seth turned to look at his father and uncles. Their faces were filled with pride, full grins practically touching their ears.
"What a day today has been. A battle won and the king asking my son to protect him. I'm sure there has been no better day in my life." Your mother will be so proud, as will the whole of our village.
Garrett embraced his son, letting out a deep and satisfied sigh. The aftermath of battle was unpleasant. Dead bodies littered the ground. The sight of both Welsh and Mercian laying side by side was poignant. The survivors now wandered the ground, trying to find any who lived whilst collecting the bodies of those who didn't. Over the next few hours, they worked diligently to pile the dead ready for cremation. There were hundreds of bodies. Seth watched as his comrades picked through the corpses, removing anything of value. The sight gave him an uneasy feeling in his stomach. It was an accepted part of battle, but seeing men who had died alongside him stripped of their armour, swords and valuables was disturbing. After returning to their camp, the mood lifted as songs were sung beside fires and mead was produced from barrels they had brought with them. The celebration was bittersweet, though, as King Æthelbald had made his excuses before setting off towards Tamworth. It would have been better for the king to celebrate the victory with mead and music, as was customary, but he had made it clear he wanted to head back immediately, and it was a 2-day march from where they stood. The night passed with stories and singing. All were glad to have lived through the battle, and each man had his own tale of glory, as well as a few who took the time to remember fallen friends and family. The morning brought with it hangovers and tiredness, as the effort of the previous day caught up with most of the remaining men. Some had left in the night as their homes were closer, but many drank into the early dawn. And some were still going, Seth noticed, as he crawled out of his tent. Raiden was beside the fire with a pot of something which smelled like the cure he needed for his ale-filled belly.
You were magnificent yesterday, nephew. I felt a twinge of regret that my own son was not here to fight by our sides as I watched you take the king.
Seth's cousin had died 2 summers ago, following an accident at the river. The memory gave Seth pause as he settled beside the fire.
I'm sure he watched alongside Warden as his father fought strongly.
He lifted up a cup of hot broth in a toast to his uncle.
None would be here if we didn't fight as one. Yesterday I had great fortune with my family by my side. I would not be here now if not for you, Felix, and my father.
Your father was drunk last night,
Raiden said, changing the subject.
It's been a long time since I've seen him that way. Reminded me of our first battle, or perhaps the day you were born. Yes, that was the last time I saw him so drunk.
He smiled as he filled another cup with hot liquid. Later that morning, the remaining men set off for their own homes. Seth and his family joined many others from their village. News had travelled quickly as a few locals came to congratulate them on the victory. People had yet to learn about Seth's new position at the king's side. But Seth was sure it wouldn't be long before they were all talking about it. Besides, he knew his father would tell the tale himself to anyone who would listen, while joining him with a drink or two. Reaching the top of the hill, Seth could see his wife out in the fields working with his mother, tending to the animals and crops. The field was filled with corn ripe for harvest, swaying in the breeze. Cloudless sky shone with the burning sun of midday as he took a moment to take in the sight of his wife with her hair tied back in a brown scarf, her curls spilling out the sides as she bent down to a pig to feed it. Standing for a second, he held Meredith's name on his lips, then blew it towards her as he waited. A moment later, her head lifted, as she turned to see him standing near the gate of the house with his pack in his hand. She dropped the feed, then ran towards him. He did the same, and they met beneath the oak tree, kissing deeply, letting all else fade into insignificance. This was what had given him the drive to succeed when he went into battle. He knew in that moment he would fight as hard, if not harder, to ensure he returned each time to the loving warmth of his Meredith, the woman he adored. Moments later, his parents also held each other. For a moment, all was well with the world, and Seth felt he would never be happier than he was now. Over their evening meal, Garrett recalled how Seth had, in his opinion, single-handedly won victory for Mercia by slaughtering the Welsh king and his bodyguards. Then he could hardly contain his pride and boyish excitement when telling of how Æthelbald himself requested his son to be part of his personal protection. Edith gasped at the news, while Meredith nuzzled into her husband's shoulder and gave his arm a loving squeeze. Once the full realization of what being part of the king's bodyguard meant, his mother began to protest at the plan of her son moving to Tamworth and 2 days' walk from his family home. It was a futile argument, and Garrett cut it short with a look of disapproval. His mother stayed silent. But he knew she worried, as he was her baby boy, and the idea of him leaving wasn't something he imagined she would react well to. Knowing there was nothing she could do about it, it added to the concern. Later that night, as they lay in bed, Meredith rolled onto her side, then placed a delicate kiss onto her Seth's cheek.
"Will we be happy in Tamworth, my love? Will we find fertile land to grow our crops and raise our animals?"
She whispered the questions into his ear. Seth thought it sounded like snow falling. It was so delicate.
"We will, though I hear the surrounding villages are better for families than the town itself."
He winked at Meredith, who blushed slightly.
"Remember, no land will refuse to bring forth good crops, for I know what the land needs. With Frigg's energy, no crop will fail, and no animals will become diseased."
The answer seemed to provide his wife with the confirmation she needed. She placed another kiss, this time on his lips, then climbed on top of him, letting her hair fall onto his face.
"So, I take it you can get me with child, husband. Will your gifts from Frigg allow this to be so?"
This was a question he had been asked several times over the years. He reassured her they would have a child when the time was right for them to do so. Meredith smiled down at him, and he knew she expected to be with child soon. The thought brought a happiness inside him that filled his heart. All he wanted was to have a family with her, start his own sons down the path to adulthood, and perhaps his daughters too. Thought of a little girl made him smile.
"What is funny, husband? Do you not think that you can put a child in my belly tonight?"
It was a cheeky comment that Seth found alluring.
"Oh, I think I can manage that. After all, I killed the King of the Welsh."
He pushed her over as he rolled onto her.
"I was just thinking about how our life will be with children running around us."
"Children?"
She grinned.
"You had better hurry up then, if you intend to have more than one."